Well, since its first use in 1922, insulin has saved countless lives and transformed diabetes from a death sentence to a chronic and manageable condition. Approximately 400,000 people are currently living with type 1 diabetes in the UK, meaning your body is not able to produce insulin at all to manage glucose in the blood. Well, science historian Kirsten T. Hall delves into the fascinating history of this medicine in his new book, Insulin, The Crooked Timber, a history from thick brown muck to Wall Street gold. It charts insulin's history from its discovery to becoming the first drug to be produced with genetic engineering. Kirsten joins me now. Good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon, Kate. Thanks very much for having me on the show.
It was your own shock diagnosis of type 1 diabetes that prompted you to write this book and inspired you to delve into the topic, I understand.
It was, yes. Just over 10 years ago now, I suddenly became really grumpy and lethargic, or at least more grumpy and lethargic than usual. And, you know, at first I did a really blokey thing, you know, I just dismissed it. I just thought, well, look, I'm a middle-aged man, right? Being grumpy and lethargic goes with the territory. And then a few more symptoms began to manifest themselves. And I, you know, many, many moons ago now, I did a biochemistry degree at university, and I began to think, hang on a minute. Faint memories of undergrad lectures in metabolic diseases began to stir, and I thought, you know what? I think I know what this might be. But I got myself along to the GP. He did some blood tests, and he looked at me with horror because basically my blood had just turned into treacle. Suddenly come down with type 1 diabetes, which is kind of unusual because it usually presents in childhood or teens. But I got it in my 40s.
You are reliant on insulin. Tell us about its origination. We've not got a whole ton of time, but I'm fascinated to know about the controversy surrounding it.
Well, as you said, Kate, right, before the discovery of insulin, diagnosis of type 1 diabetes was a death sentence. There's nothing they could do for you, really, other than put you on a starvation diet to delay the inevitable. So when it was discovered, you know, the clinicians were turning cartwheels. One of the first doctors to use it, Elliot Jocelyn, he found himself comparing it to the vision of Ezekiel. So if you're not up on your Old Testament, Ezekiel's the Old Testament prophet who's supposed to have seen this valley of dry bones rise up and be restored to life. The clinicians were delighted, except for the guy who discovered it, Fred Banting, right? He was not jubilant, because when Banting got the phone call to say that he'd won the Nobel Prize, and just bear in mind here, right, Banting's just won the biggest accolade in science, his reaction was not what you might have expected. He was furious. He was livid. He jumped in his car, drove across Toronto in a rage, and the reason he was so angry was because the Nobel hadn't just been awarded to him, it had also been awarded to his boss, John McLeod. And McLeod was a guy who Banting thought had no right whatsoever to share the credit for the discovery of insulin with him. So he was going to have it out with McLeod. I think it was a classic case of take care what you wish for.
Yes, exactly. What about the parallels between COVID-19 vaccines and insulin in terms of scientific achievement?
Well, I mean, this is where I think the story of insulin has a really good lesson for us today, because, I mean, as I've said, it saved countless lives, my own included. But right from the word go, the first clinicians to be using it, like Elliot Jocelyn, were very clear that this is not a miracle cure for diabetes, despite all the triumphalist headlines in the press. Jocelyn was saying, look, this stuff is necessary to live well with diabetes, but it's not sufficient. For you to live long with diabetes, it's a partnership. The insulin has to go hand in hand with discipline, restraint, thought on the part of the patient with regard to things like exercise and diet. And that's where I think the story has a broader message for us all. The message being, you know, technological solutions are great, but I think sometimes we expect technological solutions to do all the heavy lifting. I think Sir Patrick Vallance made a similar point at the recent COP meeting. The technological solutions, very often for them to be truly effective, have to go hand in hand with appropriate behaviour on our part. And I think we're all finding that out now.
Yes, absolutely.
You know, with regard to vaccines going hand in hand with distancing, wearing masks in shops and things.
Behaving.
Whether it's climate change or AI, all the challenges we face, technology alone, it's great, but it ain't going to do the full job on its own. It's got to be a partnership with us and how we use it.
Thank you so much for speaking to us. Fascinating. Kirsten T. Hall, your book, Insulin, The Crooked Timber, is published this Thursday, the 13th of January, by Oxford University Press. Great to speak to you. Thank you.